morning. Thank you, Lord, that this has been prepared. Lord, trusting you, Lord, with everything by the power of your Spirit, Lord. Touch Lisa right now. Fill her afresh with your Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Sue. Okay, good morning, everybody. Before I start, I just want to say I feel our church family is amazing, and I'm glad that God's given us the DNA and a passion to reach out to the people out there that are broken and hurting. And, you know, you're just awesome. And I know I was saying before, I need people to help me, but you have all got hearts for the broken out there. So don't misunderstand me when I get passionate up front and I'm sharing stuff. I appreciate all that you do. Okay. All right. I had planned to talk about having the joy of the Lord this morning, but God had other ideas and he just wouldn't give me anything on that. And I've ended up with a completely different thing. And today I'm going to be talking about waiting on God. So I want to ask you a question to start with. Put your hand up if you've ever been through a situation where you felt like God wasn't answering your prayers. Well, I'm glad to know it's not just me. Okay, let me ask you another question. Have you ever been told when you've been going through something like that, oh, you just have to wait on God's timing. His timing is perfect. Yeah. If you spend enough time talking to people in church, sooner or later you'll hear those phrases. God's timing is perfect. Or maybe, oh, you just have to be patient and wait on God. Or even, oh, well, God's got better things in store for you as one door closes, another opens, right? We've all heard this. And to be fair, we've probably all said this to other people. But, you know, in reality, when you've just been told you didn't get that job, when you're struggling to find somewhere to live, or while you're waiting for your healing, or that perfect someone that everyone says is out there just doesn't seem to be crossing your path, or the family that you desperately want just doesn't seem to be happening, or that grief that overwhelms you just doesn't seem to pass, or that one person you loved so deeply just keeps hitting that self-destruct button. When you're going through something like that, hearing God's timing is perfect really doesn't help, does it? When we're going through our personal storms, how do we even begin to wait on God? And what does that even mean? So this morning, I want to unpick this and have a look at what the Bible says about waiting on God. Unfortunately for us today, we live in a society and culture that wants everything yesterday. Waiting is just not something that we do anymore, is it? We don't even talk about waiting. Everything's instant. We hate queuing. Red traffic lights drive us mad. Getting our heads down and working hard to achieve something seems to be a forgotten skill. People want instant money, instant fame, instant careers, instant food, instant answers. And everything that we see and hear out there, the social media, the news, consumerism, all feeds into that. So when someone says to you, you've got to wait, it sounds really wrong and alien. It just doesn't sit right with us anymore. Yet, when we read the Bible, we see people right throughout the Old and New Testaments having to wait on God, and some for a very long time. In Genesis, God told Abraham, now known as the father of faith, that he would have as many descendants as stars in the sky. Abraham was laughed at and scorned at when he shared this news, because when God told him that, he was actually 75 years old. And God promised him and his wife Sarah that they would have this baby, but she was 65. So in reality, 65 and 75, to be told you're going to have a child, it's quite extreme. And I would imagine, you know, as each year passed and that child didn't come, it must have got harder and harder to keep believing and trusting in God's promises. You see, Abraham had to wait till he was 100 before that child came along, and Sarah was 90. That was a 25-year wait. But you know, when we look at the story of Abraham and Sarah, they were just as vulnerable to doubts and anxieties as we are. And as they aged and all the hopes of them ever having children faded and seemed hopeless, they stopped trusting God, they stopped waiting, and they took matters into their own hands. Who's done that before now? Took matters into their own hands. I know I have. Abraham fathered a son with their servant Hagar, and Ishmael was born. But the consequences of those actions was that the birth of Ishmael brought much turmoil to their marriage. And as Ishmael became a man and things unfolded, a tribe of people arose through him that fought everyone around them, including Israel. Starting with our verses now, Andy. Me and Andy have had a bit of a laugh this morning because I've given him a load of scripture. So hopefully they'll all come up in order. So we've got Genesis 16, verse 12. And it says this. This is talking about Ishmael. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen. So we can see here, if we trust God, he will answer our prayers and bring a blessing. But if we take matters into our own hands, there's always going to be consequences that usually don't line up with what God wanted for us originally. Let's dig a little bit deeper now at why we should learn to wait on God and how we can wait on him and the benefits that it brings. So here we go with our scriptures, right? Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. Let me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you and only you, I wait expectantly all the day long. Waiting on God brings guidance. While we're waiting for the answer, God will teach us and show us the right way to go. Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Waiting on God brings deliverance. We don't have to wait in fear or trepidation, but in hope, knowing God is our true help and shield, and he'll protect us. Psalm 33, verse 15. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord my God. Waiting on God brings answers to prayers. We don't need to question while we're waiting if God will answer. The Bible says he will. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on God brings strength. While we wait for those answers, if we're trusting God, our resolve will be strengthened. We will be peaceful and have the energy to keep on going, to keep moving forward and not get stuck in that one circumstance. Lamentations 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Waiting on God brings favour. God wants to be good to us even while we're waiting for that answer we desperately need. God can bless us in other areas of our lives. And Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Waiting on God brings hope. If we believe God hears us and he will answer our prayers, all doubt is pushed aside and hope comes in. So we've seen there why waiting on God is a good thing to do. But how do we put it into practice? How do we stop our impatient, needy self from screaming at us, but I want it now? Waiting on God is difficult. And you know, it's not a passive activity, you know, like waiting in the dentist queue or at the traffic lights or waiting for your McDonald's meal to be ready. Waiting on God is actually an act of faith. Now, the definition of faith is having confidence and trust in someone or something. And we have to apply that faith while we're waiting. That means actually having trust and confidence in God to come through for us. And we can't be wishy-washy about that. We either believe he will or we don't. You can't be in the middle. If you're in the middle, you'll be blown all over the place. A 17th century pastor, John Owen, compared waiting on God to sailors out at sea battling raging storms, but at the same time being sustained and encouraged because they could glimpse land in the far off horizon. Our lives are besieged by storm, but when we learn to apply our faith, that putting our trust and confidence in God while we wait, it brings us hope for a brighter day and the confidence that this storm will pass. So what should we be doing while we're waiting? Well, John Owen highlights three things: quietness, diligence, and expectancy. And we're going to look at those three now. So quietness, actually, that's the opposite of a fretful mind and an anxious heart. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. You see, we need to free our minds from the endless rounds of, well, what if, and what maybes, and of the constant trying to solve problems that we might be out of our control. And we need to recognise that worrying and fretting actually achieves nothing but arming ourselves. We need to shift our focus to God and get quiet with him. And you know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to spend sleepless nights full of anxiety and stress, did he? Being quiet, clearing our minds and focusing on God and all he promises renews our strength, it renews our hope, and it brings encouragement. So what about diligence? So Psalm 37, verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep his ways. Being quiet doesn't mean being passive and doing nothing except waiting on God and for the storm to pass. We also have to be diligent to keep his ways, faithfully following everything the Bible tells us to do to keep our hearts and mind in line with God. In other words, we have to get on with our lives. We have to go about our day to day, but putting God in the middle of all we do. We keep praying, we keep reading our Bibles, we keep demonstrating God's love to others, all in the knowledge that God is about his business, working things out for us. When I lost my dad, the last thing I felt like doing was helping other hurting people. But I found through prayer and applying faith, the actual task of doing my job and getting out there and helping people brought me through my grief. Why? Because it takes our focus off us. It's so easy to hide away and lick our wounds, but that's when our thought life can start running away with us. Our focus becomes all about us and the battle that we're in. Now, hear me right, I'm not saying we shouldn't be wise and allow ourselves time to grieve and recover, but there's a fine line. And I needed to be diligent in practicing all that I knew was good for me while I waited for God to heal my heart and restore my joy. Praying, reading my Bible, helping others, and demonstrating God's love all helped me to keep moving forward while I recovered. So moving on to expectancy. If quietness keeps us from fretting and being diligent helps us to take our focus off us and keeps us moving forward, then expectancy guards our hearts against unbelief and despair. If we're waiting or expectant for something, we trust and hope it will happen. So Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. Isaiah 64, verse 4, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. The Bible promises us that if we wait for God, he will act for us. He wants to bless us. So let's just summarise those three things. If we have quietness but are not being diligent and proactive daily, we're in danger of becoming passive, negligent and lazy in our spiritual walk. We can then find ourselves looking for other ways to escape our situation. Anything not to be a part of the here and now. But we all know that that can lead to all kinds of dangerous paths. But on the other hand, if we're filling our time while we wait with lots of activity and we don't take those quiet times to be with God, then we can easily become self-reliant, doing things in our own strength rather than relying on God to pave the way. And we all know that our own strength fades very quickly. And doing any of those two without hoping God will leave us only trusting ourselves rather than God and his promises in the Bible. This leaves space for doubts to move back in and quickly followed by anxiety and stress. The other thing that we need to do while we wait on God is to actually remember who it is we're waiting on. God himself. We can so often forget the majesty, might, and sovereignty of our Lord. It's important to remember he is the creator of heaven and earth. Isaiah 40 is a great chapter to read all about the greatness of God. And I've picked out some of the verses just to share with you this morning. So verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Verse 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of this? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power, might and strength. Not one of them is missing. Verses 28 to 31. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Great verses. When we remind ourselves of just who God is, all-powerful, all-knowing, a God that lives for eternity, we should never, ever really doubt or not trust his timing again. So, to summarise, waiting on God brings guidance, deliverance from situations, answers to prayer, strength to endure, and favour while we wait and hope. We wait on God by getting quiet with him, but also continuing to live our lives the way he has taught us to. And all the time we should be filled with expectancy that he will answer. You know, in life, we're always going to face battles and storms. In fact, it tells in the Bible to expect them. But I hope this message has helped encourage you in your battles and giving you some tools to help you while you're waiting for God to move in your circumstances and bring you the answers you've been praying for. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. We're going to, all of you all want to stand, we're going to sing that song, Strength Will Rise, as we wait on the Lord.